What's up, guys? Thanks for clicking on my podcast. This is my first podcast ever, so thanks for being a part of this. My name is Engelbert Del Castillo. I was born in Orange County, California, but I grew up in Phoenix. I lived in Phoenix since I was 7 years old. I have a son. His name is Enzo. He's 1 year old. He motivates me to be a better me. The reason I started this podcast is because a good friend of mine named Ricardo Ortiz, he had me on a couple of his podcasts, like maybe 3 or 4 of them, and I really liked the idea of making one myself. You could check out his podcast on Anchor as well. It's his Anchor is Ricardo-Ortiz2. So yeah, let's just get right in it. I want to start this podcast out by talking about how I just got out of jail. So I was incarcerated for 3 months. I was supposed to do 6, but I ended up doing 3 by working at the food factory. I learned a lot while I was in jail about myself and my life. And the main reason I was in jail was because I was blinded by greed. And just that's it. I was just blinded by greed. I got raided last September in 2018. They found 150 cartridges, a pound of weed, $1,500 in cash, drug paraphernalia, a stolen gun, and yeah, you know, they got me with a bunch of stuff. So I got raided. They booked me. I spent the night in 4th Ave. I was released on pretrial the next day. Week passes and I call pretrial to get my future court dates. They tell me my charges got scratched and they have 7 years to summon me to face these charges. And in my head at that moment, I was like, you know, hell yeah, I got a break. I'm straight or whatever. But, you know, a couple days passed and in the back of my head, I knew, you know, that and these charges were going to come back and bite me in the ass. So, you know, we fast forward 6 months later and I'm driving home. I get a call saying I have court. They tell me I missed my initial appearance, which doesn't make sense because I never got a letter saying I had to go to court, which was pretty messed up. But so I immediately begin to think the worst. I'm like, yeah, you know, I have no time to prepare. I had no money for a lawyer, so I got to go with the public defender. And I know there's a good chance that they could hold me in jail while I'm doing this court. While I'm fighting or while I'm going through this trial or whatever. So I go to court the next day. I see the judge or whatever, kind of explain to him how I never got a letter saying that I had to come to court. And I end up getting pretrial services again. And I end up fighting the case for 2 months. I take a plea for 6 months county with early release if I work inside the jail. I mean, my best route. Well, I mean, I don't even know if it was my best route, but I was new to all this. I mean, I heard if I would have took my second plea that it would have been better, but I was scared. Like, they told me it was 6 months county or I could take the case to trial, and they had me on 4 counts. So, they had me on 4 felonies. So, I would do, if I lost in trial, I would do a year in prison on each of those felonies. So, I was like, you know, fuck it. Like, give me the 6 months. Try to give me programs so I can get out early. And yeah, so that's what I did. I was booked May 8th, 2019, and it was a trip. Like, it was a trip. I walk up to the judge, sign my plea, put me in handcuffs. I get taken to a holding cell in the lower levels of the court. What tripped me out the most was when I was in the holding cell, it was underground. So, like, underneath the court, but, like, underground, though. And I ended up passing out. Or whatever, but I wake up and they transport us to the main booking. They call it 4th Ave, call it the Matrix too. But yeah, so I end up, yeah, that tripped me out. We walk through these tunnels and I go to 4th Ave through there. I spend like a day and a half in 4th Ave getting classified. I got classified to a minimum. I mean, it was my first charges, which is good. I mean, I wanted to go to a minimum. I didn't want to go to a higher classification. I didn't want to be a higher classification. I ended up going to Durango. And damn, I mean, the politics were crazy. Like, they were crazy. They're crazy, but just because it's county and they... Yeah, I mean, but it's understandable in an unsentenced pod how the politics are. But in a sentence pod, to me, is where, like, you know, the politics needs to be more lenient, in my opinion, though. That's just me. But... So I go to Durango. I get so where was I at? So I get classified to Durango. The next day, I get transported to Durango. They hold me in a holding tank for a couple hours, and then I get put into housing. As soon as I walk into the housing, they're all asking me, you know, you run Paisa, you run Chicano, do you run Kinfolk, do you run Wood? And I was like, you know, I don't want to run anything. Like, I just want to stay to myself. But they kind of told me that you have to run a race, which, I mean, you don't have to, but it's best to run with a race, because let's say someone who doesn't run a race, they run independent, then they fuck up. All the race, they got a green light to take off on you. If I'm Chicano, I was Chicano, and let's say I fucked up, they would come tell my head, and my head would come talk to me, and, you know, it's you're just more, you got a little more protection. But yeah, it was a trip. I got in there, I ended up running with the Chicanos. I get on my bunk, and I'm like, just taking it all in. I start noticing, you know, they got stores in there, they got alcohol, gambling, they got all types of shit in there. It was a mind fuck. I mean, it was the way it was organized, which, I mean, I learned that it wasn't organized at all compared to what, you know, the Pinta is. But as soon as I get in, the next day, I off the rip, I'm just putting in tank orders every single day for like 20 days straight so I can get into a working pod. I was lucky because my cellies, they were like, they showed a lot of respect. And they were respectable people, you know. They kept the cell clean, swept and mopped in it, kept it smelling good. You know, they just had respect. You know, I'd go into other cells, they'd be playing grab ass, they'd fucking, their cell would smell like shit, their cell would be dirty. And I mean, that's not like, just because you're in jail doesn't mean you gotta be like that. Yeah, just because you're in jail, it doesn't mean, you know, you gotta fucking, well, honestly, if you're dirty in jail, like, it just shows how you are on the outside, in my opinion. But yeah, so 20 days later, I finally get a job. I end up moving into the working pod, where it's just like a big ass open warehouse with 250 inmates all in one housing. The warehouse was set up, so it was 12 rows. Within each row was about 10 to 12 bunks, but the bunks were 3 stories high. It was a trip, you know. It was way more space. It was open, you know. It was just way more space. It was cool. It was pretty loud in there too, but I ended up getting used to it. I slept on a third story bunk, which I didn't like at first, but I learned to love because I had way more privacy than the lower bunks. Like, if you were on a lower bunk, be walking by, you smell fucking people's farts because they just fucking fart. They just busted ass wherever they wanted. I'll sit on your bunk, talk to their friends or whatever. Yeah, it was just fucked up. So I was happy I was on a third story bunk. And, but yeah, so I ended up working at the food factory. We have to like shave every day at 4:30 a.m., leave the housing at 5:30, walk to food factory. And within the food factory, there's like, well, like six jobs. You got the bakery. Bakery, Eastock, Cook Chill, Peanut Butter, Lamboland, but it's also known as Food Assembly. But yeah, so the bakery, you just make all the bread. I mean, you make all the bread for all the food. Cook Chill, you're making the slop, the mashed potatoes, the vegetables or whatever. Slop tastes like shit. It's a fucking soy stew with like beans and soy, carrots or shit like that. Fucking potatoes are bland as shit. Lamboland, you make all the breakfast sacks. It's a peanut butter, a little like ketchup packet, but it's jelly. It's like a little jelly packet. 8 ounces of fruit, so like an orange. some cookies, like some snack cookies. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that's it. But yeah, the good thing though about working at Food Factory was, When you're a sentenced or unsentenced inmate and you're not working, you're only getting a Lambo sack in the morning and then a hot meal around like 5:30 to 6. So that's when you get it. But when you do work, you get 3 meals and you get like enhancements. So like my first day, like they gave us some like barbecue, like, chicken. That shit was cool. Barbecue chicken, like, potato wedges. That shit was tight. But after that, we didn't get enhancement for a couple days, but a couple weeks, actually. And then we got, like, ice cream and cake and shit. And I would do overtime because I didn't want to be at the housing because there was a lot of politics and there was a lot of drama. Because for me, I didn't want to get mixed up with all that because I just wanted to do my time and get out. Because I had to work 76 days straight without getting in trouble, without doing anything, so I could get released 3 months earlier, basically only do half my time, which I ended up doing, because, I've barely been out, like, a month now, but, yeah, while I was working at the food factory, I did this program called Clean Start, where they teach you life skills and culinary skills while you're in the jail. And when you get released, they pay you to continue the classes on the outside. The class was pretty cool. I got to eat, like, steaks and fucking burgers and mac and cheese while I was in jail. Like, who gets to eat like that while you're in jail? I mean, maybe somewhere in some other counties or whatever, but, like, that was pretty cool. But, yeah, besides all that, working at the food factory, the politics were pretty crazy. You know, like, they had mandatory workouts, and if you missed a mandatory workout, then you'd have to go to the bathroom. They'd send, like, 3 people on you. What else? You have to, like, eat at, you know, a certain table. Can't horseplay with other races. I don't know. Well, it's kind of hard for me to remember. I've been out for, like, a month now, but it was really political. Like, a week before I got out, or like 2 weeks before I got out, we went on security override. And that basically means where your bunk status, you can't use the phones, you can't use the showers. Only 2 people in the bathroom at a time. No TV, no cell phone. I don't know if I already said that. You do get your video visits because those are mandatory. If you have your people who, like, you know, schedule it or whatever. But yeah, so we went on security override because my race and another race, it was about to pop off. I was right there in a spades tournament, which kind of sucked. It was my first spades tournament. I was kind of hyped to do that spades tournament too. And then all that shit popped off and we had to dip out. Like five cops came in with pepper sprays and like a pepper. It's like a paintball gun that shoots pepper balls. And after that, the special response team came in. They came in with shotguns and fucking, they came all suited up, like, they were ready to go to war, which, I mean, it makes sense. There's, like, 250 of us in there, so it makes sense for them to come in with all that shit. But then it was fucked up, because there was this DO who would just, like, threaten us with his gun, and, like, threaten someone to say something to him so they could take him out. Like, he thought he was just trying to, it's like, he was just power hungry. Like, he wanted to abuse his power, too, because, I mean, like, people who want to get out early and who have 2-for-1s and who are in programs, they don't want to fuck up, like, they, unless, I mean, maybe they do, I don't know, but not me, but, like, they want to get out early, they don't want to fuck up, so they gotta do whatever this guy says, they gotta stay quiet, even though it's bullshit, and the majority of the time, it's the people who are flat time who fuck it up for everyone else in the pod, because they don't give a fuck, they don't even want to work, which, I mean, I feel it, because, you know, you're working for free, but you do pass your time a lot faster, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, it was crazy. There was, like, I heard that there was, like, drugs in the pod and all types of shit like that. But I learned a lot while I was in there. I learned about patience, and I learned a lot about myself and how, you know, I was brainwashed by greed and money because I had all this money coming in, but I had nothing to show for it either way. And, you know, it all started out, you know, I'm counting out a couple $100s, and then I'm counting out a couple thousand, and I feel this thing, like, this feeling in my chest where it's like, fuck, you know, this isn't right, but I still want more, and I know it's not right, but I still want more, and I ended up biting me in the ass because I risked my entire family and my freedom all for this quick cash, which I learned, you know, isn't the way to go. Because I have the way I see working regular jobs and going to school, I see it in a completely I see it in a different way than a lot of other people see it, which to me is cool. Like, I'm happy with the way I view it, and if someone else views it in a certain way, like, that's cool, you know. You're good. Like, I'm not gonna argue with you about it or anything, you know. I'm the type of guy where, like, if I'm trying to explain myself to someone and then they're like, oh no, you're wrong or whatever, I'll just be like, okay, like, I'll just be like, oh yeah, you're right, and I'll just in my head I'll be like, yeah, you know, I know, like, how do I say it? I know what I'm thinking is right to me and where my mindset is at is right to me, and if you want to argue with me and try to explain yourself to me, you can do it, but I'm not gonna argue with you and go back and forth, because, you know, I'd rather just be like, yeah, you know, end the conversation, let's talk about something else, or leave me alone. So to me, school and working, I see it very differently. So that's what made me go out into the streets and try to make this money, which I did have a plan at the time, but I won't speak about right now just because I'm recording. But so let's backtrack back to when I got raided and I got released the next day. As soon as I got out, I made an online smoke shop. And I tried to advertise it to all the people I used to sell to, but I ended up getting scared because I got an email saying Shopify can't support my payment gateway, which at the time I was already paranoid, so I didn't want to risk anything like getting in trouble, so I just completely shut it down. I tried making more websites, but they ended up failing because, I mean, I lost all my money. I didn't have money to invest into marketing or into the website itself, and I was using AliExpress, which was, I mean, I don't know if people still use AliExpress. I know a lot of people just get into direct contracts with distributors now. But yeah, I was doing that. I was trying to get into drop shipping, which was going, like, I guess I could say I got my feet a little wet. But after that, I just started to study on YouTube, like, how to make money online. I looked into e-commerce, social media marketing. And so I got into social media marketing. I didn't get into it. I barely got my feet wet. I got a client. I made his logo, his coupons, his website. I was even about to edit his video ad. But I ended up going to jail, so I couldn't close that deal. And I kind of started that late. I started that, like, around, I want to say, yeah, February was when I got. So I got ready to September. I got the client February. And I was slacking because at the time I was still smoking weed. I was working commission job. I was putting in a lot of hours there trying to make my money. And I ended up slacking, which was whack because I could have went somewhere with that. And I could have went somewhere with that. And I let that opportunity pass me, which sucks. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. I'm here now. And at the moment, I just do graphic design and video editing. But I do plan on getting into e-commerce. And then from e-commerce, making my way back over to social media marketing, so I can leverage off all of my e-commerce testimonials to potential clients in the future. But yeah, I mean, I went through a lot this fucking, I went through a lot this year, but it helped shape me and shape my mind into what can be my future and to what I can do in the future and with all the things I want to achieve in the future. So, you know, I'm glad I went to jail. I'm glad I had to burn a couple bridges to get to where I'm at now, because if I wouldn't have never done that, or if I would have never done those things, or if I would have never got raided, who knows, I could have been still selling. I probably could have got killed, robbed. I'm happy that I went to jail. I dealt with all this because it's just shaped me into the man I'm going to be in the future. And it helped me realize how, you know, nothing in this life comes easy, nothing in this life comes easy, and as easy as it comes is just as easy to lose it all, but, yeah, so, this is my first podcast. I don't know if I rambled on a lot. If I did, DM me and let me know. Like, I honestly want your opinion. You could find me on Instagram at Engelbert with 2 R's and 2 T's, and Twitter with 2 R's and 2 T's. Facebook, you can find me with my full name, Engelbert Del Castillo, on Facebook. But yeah, let me know. I'll probably be doing a podcast a week. DM me if you have any, you know, topics you want me to touch on, or if you want to hop on a podcast with me, be interviewed. But yeah, if you listened this far, thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful, I hope you have a wonderful day, wonderful rest of your week. I hope you have nothing but blessings coming towards you. And yeah, thank you for listening.